Here's a number that should not be possible. Zero. That's how many places on Earth an airplane can hide from air traffic control today, if it's equipped the way most airliners are. The middle of the Pacific, the South Atlantic, directly over the North Pole. Zero blind spots. 10 years ago, that number was closer to 70%. 70% of the planet's surface had no real-time surveillance at all. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about how that 70% became zero, not with more radar. Radar had nothing to do with it. We solved it by putting the receivers in space. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo private pilot, instrument rated CFI, the whole journey. These are beautifully made, heavy in the hand, built to last a lifetime in your pocket or on your shelf. When you pass a check ride, that's a moment worth marking with something you can hold. AviationSoul.com. So let's start with the problem, because the problem is older than aviation itself. It's the ocean. Radar is a wonderful thing, but it has one hard limitation. It needs a station on the ground, and that station can only see out to the horizon and a bit beyond, maybe 200-250 miles for the long-range en route radars. That's fine over land where you can chain stations together and cover a whole continent. It falls apart the moment the land runs out. Fly a Boeing 767 from New York to London, and there is a stretch in the middle, over the North Atlantic, where no radar on Earth can see you. For decades, controllers handled that the only way they could. Procedurally, the pilot would key the mic, or later send a data message, and report a position, latitude, longitude, altitude, time, and an estimate for the next fix. The controller would write it down and mentally build a picture of airplanes he could not see. Because that picture was built on estimates and not on live data, it had to be conservative. Wildly conservative. Airplanes crossing the ocean on the North Atlantic track system were kept 10 minutes apart in trail. Laterally, the tracks were spaced 60 nautical miles apart, 60 miles. On land in radar airspace, we routinely run airplanes 3 to 5 miles apart. Think about what that costs. The North Atlantic is the busiest oceanic airspace in the world. Every airplane wants the same thing. The same handful of altitudes and the same winds, because the jet stream decides who burns the least fuel. But there isn't room, so airplanes get stuck at altitudes that aren't optimal, on tracks that aren't ideal, burning fuel they didn't need to burn, because the separation standard has to assume the worst. Here's what most people miss. That waste wasn't a technology failure. It was an information failure. The airplanes knew exactly where they were the whole time. Every one of them had a GPS receiver spitting out a position accurate to a few meters. The problem was never the airplane knowing where it was. The problem was getting that knowledge to the controller. Which brings us to ADS-B, Automatic Dependent Surveillance, broadcast. If you've listened to this show before, you know the concept. The airplane figures out its own position from GPS and then broadcasts it automatically about once a second on a radio frequency. 1090 megahertz for the airliners. Any receiver in range picks it up and now knows where that airplane is. Its altitude, its speed, its identity. No radar needed. The airplane is doing the work. And by the 2010s, the ground was covered in these receivers. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, built out a network of about 700 ground stations across the United States. Great over land, but an ADS-B ground station has the exact same problem as a radar. It sits on the ground. It can only hear out to the horizon. Put that station on a coastline, and it hears airplanes maybe 150 miles out to sea. And then nothing. The airplane over the middle of the ocean is still broadcasting. Faithfully, once a second, the whole way across. Its position, its altitude, perfect data, screaming into the sky, and absolutely nobody is listening. There's no receiver for 1,000 miles in any direction. So here is the idea that seems obvious the moment you hear it, and was fiendishly hard to actually build. If the airplane is already broadcasting, and the only problem is that there's no receiver nearby, then put the receiver where it can always hear. Put it in orbit. That's Aireon. And the data tells an interesting story about how they pulled it off. You do not build a satellite network from scratch just to listen for airplanes. That would cost billions and take a decade. What Aireon did instead was clever. They hitched a ride. There's a company called Iridium. They run a constellation of satellites that provide voice and data communication anywhere on Earth. The satellite phones you've seen in movies and on expeditions. Around 2015, Iridium was replacing its entire aging fleet with a new generation called Iridium Next. 75 brand new satellites launched over about 2 years, mostly on SpaceX Falcon 9 rockets out of California. Aireon's move was to get an ADS-B receiver built into every single one of those satellites as a hosted payload, a passenger. The satellite does its normal communication job, and riding along on the side is a specialized receiver whose only purpose in life is to listen for that 1090 megahertz broadcast coming up from the airplanes below. Now here's why the Iridium constellation specifically was the right host, and this is the engineering that makes the whole thing work. 66 operational satellites, plus spares in orbit. They fly in what's called a low Earth orbit, only about 480 miles up, and they're arranged in 6 orbital planes that cross near the poles. The key property is that they overlap. Every satellite is in view of its neighbors, and together they blanket the entire globe with no gaps. There's no point on the surface of the Earth, ocean, desert, or pole that isn't underneath an Iridium satellite at every moment, which means there is no point on Earth where an airplane's ADS-B broadcast goes unheard. That's how you get to zero blind spots. But now let's talk about the hard part, because this is where I want to be honest with you about the physics. Listening for ADS-B from space is genuinely difficult, and for a while, a lot of smart people thought it couldn't be done reliably. Three reasons. First, distance. A ground station might be 50 miles from an airplane. A satellite is at least 480 miles away. And if the airplane is off to the side near the edge of coverage, more like 1,000 miles of slant range. Radio signals get weaker with the square of the distance. That little transponder on the airplane was designed to be heard by a station just over the horizon, not by a receiver in orbit. The signal arriving at the satellite is faint. Second, and this is the nasty one, ADS-B was designed with an assumption baked in. The assumption was that any given receiver would only hear airplanes within a couple hundred miles. Within that circle, you might have a few dozen airplanes, and they take turns, more or less, so their 1-per-second broadcasts don't step on each other too often. Now go to space. A satellite 480 miles up can see a circle on the ground more than 3,000 miles across, over Europe or the North Atlantic at peak hours. That's not a few dozen airplanes. That's hundreds and hundreds of them all transmitting on the exact same frequency. None of them coordinating, all of their messages arriving at the same receiver and smashing into each other. Engineers call it message garbling. It's like trying to hear one conversation in a stadium where 10,000 people are all talking at once. Aireon had to build a receiver and processing system smart enough to pull individual airplane messages out of that overlapping wall of noise. That was the make or break problem. And solving it is the reason this company exists and its imitators mostly didn't. Third, the satellites are moving. Fast. About 17,000 miles an hour. So, the receiver isn't sitting still listening. It's screaming across the sky and the geometry between it and every airplane below is changing constantly. The whole system has to account for that motion to keep the positions accurate. They solved all three. The system went fully operational in 2019. And the first place it got used in anger tells you exactly why it matters. The North Atlantic. Nav Canada, which runs a big share of that oceanic airspace, and not coincidentally, is a part owner of Aireon, started using space-based ADS-B to actually watch the airplanes on the tracks in real time. Live, for the first time in the history of transatlantic flight. A controller could see the airplanes over the middle of the ocean the same way they see them over land. And the moment you can see them, you don't have to guess anymore. You don't have to assume the worst. So they tightened the separation, that 10 minutes in-trail standard built for a world of position reports scribbled on paper, started coming down, with live surveillance and controller pilot data link. They've been able to run airplanes far closer together, safely, because safely no longer means blindly. More airplanes get the altitude they want, more get the track they want. They ride the jet stream, where it actually helps, instead of where there happened to be. Room. Here's the payoff in terms you feel as a pilot and a passenger. Less fuel burned, less carbon in the air, airplanes spending more of the crossing at their optimal altitude, and quietly a real safety improvement, because a controller who can see you can help you in a way a controller working a mental picture never could. There's a harder edge to that safety point, and it's worth saying plainly. When Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 disappeared in 2014, one of the gut-punch realizations for the general public was that a large airliner could simply vanish over the ocean and the world would not know where. At the time, that was true. The tools to continuously track an airplane over a remote ocean at a reasonable cost did not exist yet. Space-based ADS-B is a direct answer to that. In today's system, an equipped airplane over the remotest stretch of the Southern Ocean is visible every second, to a receiver overhead. The untracked airplane as a category is going away. Now let me give you the caveats because I don't do hype without the other side. This works for airplanes that broadcast ADS-B on 1090 MHz, which is essentially all the airliners and a growing share of everything else. It does not magically track an airplane whose transponder is off or one that was never equipped. It's a surveillance tool, not a search tool. It tells you where the cooperating airplanes are. It does not find the ones that don't want to be found. Second caveat. This is infrastructure owned by a company. Aireon is a commercial venture backed by a group of air navigation service providers, NAV Canada and others, plus Iridium. Air traffic control agencies buy the data as a service. That's a different model than the government-owned radar most of us grew up with, and reasonable people can debate the long-term implications of critical surveillance riding on commercial hardware. I'll just note it, it's a real question. And third, the honest engineering truth. It's still ADS-B underneath with all of ADS-B's known issues. We did a whole segment on this show about the fact that ADS-B has no encryption and no authentication. Putting the receiver in space does not change that. The satellite is a spectacular new set of ears. It is not a new, more secure signal. The airplane is broadcasting the same unprotected message it always was. We just built a way to hear it everywhere.
So where does this go from here?
The constellation is up and it's working. And the interesting frontier now is what you do with truly global, real-time surveillance data once you have it. Search and rescue is a big one. If an equipped airplane goes down, the last known position from space-based ADS-B can be pinpoint and instant anywhere on Earth instead of a rough guess triangulated hours later. There's a service built exactly around that, giving rescue coordination centers that last position for free. That's the kind of quiet win that doesn't make headlines and saves lives. The bigger picture is that we've crossed a line and we're not going back. For the entire history of aviation, there were places the airplane went where the ground could not follow. The ocean kept its secrets. That era is over, not because we built a better radar, but because we stopped trying to see the airplane from the ground and started listening for it from orbit. Here's the thing I keep coming back to. The airplanes were shouting their position perfectly the whole time for decades. Across every ocean, the information existed. We just finally built something high enough to hear it. My thanks to Aireon and Iridium for the technical details on the constellation, and to NAV Canada and the FAA, whose oceanic trials showed what live surveillance actually buys you out over the water. If you want the deeper reading, we keep links and notes at radiohangar.com. That's the whole system, from the GPS in the airplane to a receiver moving 17,000 miles an hour, 480 miles overhead. I think it's one of the most elegant things we've built in my lifetime. I'm Vector. Keep looking up, and I'll see you on the next one.